We should start the meeting. It's 5 after almost. I got 3 after. Or 7:02.
So I'm going to guess that Jerry didn't jump all over taking over as chairman.
If it helps, it makes things run smoother, I'll do it.
He said he'll do it.
If you wouldn't mind, Jerry, it might be better.
I got you.
I'm a little spotty here, so the audio is a little in and out.
Okay.
So we have, I got the recorder on, and this is being recorded through Zoom, at least the audio, and we have 5 people, four people, Ann Perdue, John Arnold, Barrett, or 3 people, 3 members on virtually. We have Trish on as the secretary for the board. She's on virtually, and then in the room, actually present, we have Jerry Bouchard and Mike Shaver. Ann, can you speak now? No. Okay.
She has a microphone on her computer shut off.
Yeah. Can I just go over that note and ask her if her microphone on her computer might be off? Otherwise, we should have everybody fully able to participate. So, in terms of attendees, I'm going to unmute the, let's see here, I have, where'd he go? Chris Powell.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, Ann, good. Okay, so we have everybody fully capable, at least audio-wise, and I just unmuted Chris Potter. Are you there?
Hey, Jim, we got a few minutes.
Yeah. Oh, we got to do a few things, right?
So while you're meeting Chris?
Okay. Go ahead and do your minutes. I'll pick up on your
I'll call the meeting to order. All right. So, first order of business. Review of the July minutes. Does anyone have any comments?
I have a few corrections.
Okay, John.
Okay, page 2284, simple typo, mid-second paragraph has Ron Zimmerman listed as Ron Zimmerman. 6th paragraph on 2284. I don't have a sentence in front of me. I don't have the minutes in front of me at the moment, but I have a reference that the word "we" should be replaced with "were." Instead of "me within," it should be "were within." And then page 2285, 2nd paragraph, the sentence was "probably won't something it until," and it probably should be "probably won't get it until." And the 3rd paragraph on that page, Jerry, you can just clear up. There was a quote from you that said Mr. Bouchard stated, if this was on parking, something to do with the width of parking spaces or something, and you had stated that you had said, Mr. Bouchard stated he would not like to revisit that on the 17th. I didn't know if it was you wanted to revisit it or if you meant to say you did not want to revisit.
No, I think the minutes are accurate. What I recall saying was trying to drive us to a sense of what we were asking the applicant to do so he didn't go off and generate a site plan that we then weren't happy with tonight because there was a discussion about...
Yep,
it was a discussion about the number of parking spots versus the size of parking spots and that.
That's all I have is those two then. The first two.
I have one.
Okay.
On the 17th.
a couple lines down, it says, in case of the diesel, it should be placed. That's all I have.
Okay. Got any more?
I'm all set. Okay. Make a motion, we accept.
James A. Accept as amended?
Accept as amended, correct.
Okay, we have a motion to accept as amended. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay. I don't know voices wise, is that Ann or Mary?
I think that was
Ann.
Ann? Okay, thank you, Ann. All right, we'll just do a voice vote then. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Okay, passed. Okay.
Okay, Chris Potter, are you there? Chris? Chris Potter.
He's on the list.
Jim, I do not see him this year.
He's on the attendee list.
Yeah, but he's not active on the list. His name shows up.
Okay, Chris, are you there? Chris, are you there?
We can hear me now.
Yep, I can hear you. Good. Okay, we have Chris Potter on with us from Stewart's.
Okay, so the first on the agenda is the site plan review and public hearing for Stewart Shops, located at 1311 Route 9 in Gansford, New York. Just trying to make sure before we open the public hearing, do we have anything that we need to do relative to site plan to close that out?
Just a brief catch-up on the outstanding items I had from the July discussion of this. We had a sign-off from the county DPW. The water superintendent was to look at the hydrant for connections and snow removal. I was to speak to them. Wider spaces for electrical vehicle stalls and employee parking was to be shown. We did schedule the public hearing properly. Finish addressing the SWIP comments. Get our traffic report back from our third-party reviewer. And the DEC sign-off on the site cleanup. I did send everybody, it came in, I was not here Thursday, but I sent it shortly before the meeting, and you have it in front of you there, Jerry and Mike. The letter from GPI, if you want, I can read the whole thing into the record, but the summary paragraph reads on page 2, in summary, the CME traffic assessment provides a reasonable estimate of the traffic generating characteristics and potential traffic impacts of the project. Further, we agree with the study conclusions that the project as proposed will not have a significant impact on the operation of the area roadways. And then the first page of that, he gets into the items that he reviewed in detail. I can read the entire thing in if you'd like, but that's the gist of it.
I think as long as we have it for the record, unless there's anyone in the meeting who does not have a copy of it, who would like to hear with them?
I did send it out electronically to the members at 6:43 this evening.
I don't know how you would know if there was anyone from the public who was looking.
Well, I have one phone number here I don't recognize, so that would be I can ask them. There is one. Are you opening the hearing then?
Well, as long as we've got everything you feel like we're ready, I will open the public hearing for the Stewart's Shops, Route 9, 1311 Route 9, in Moreau.
Okay, we have one. We have one person on. I don't recognize the number. It's a 518-347-7139. Trying to unmute it. If you're here for the hearing, please raise your hand or send me a message. Seeing any indication.
Okay.
I'll let you know if it changes, Jerry.
All right. Well, I mean, we certainly can, but, you know, I'm...
Yeah, okay, I got him on mute. Anyone here for the hearing? Public hearing on Stewart's, anyone? I'm not seeing anybody.
Okay. Well, okay. Hearing no one, unless any of the board members would like me to read this into the record, satisfied with just keeping it a portion of the record. The summary statement covers it, that, you know, the review feels that the report is correct, and they agree with the conclusions of the report.
Okay. And I did speak with Jesse, the hybrid connections are fine, and he was okay with the location in terms of snow removal where it was shown. Chris, any luck on the sign off from DPW at the county?
I do have an email from them, from Gary Meyer. It says attached inside being one of a maintenance agreement, because we have catch basins and pipes in there right away. So they wanted a maintenance agreement, so he said attached the signed maintenance agreement for my records, and then it says Saratoga County DPW comments appear to have been addressed on the revised set of plans.
Can you forward me that email?
I sure can.
So there's a maintenance agreement, is that what I'm understanding? He's in with the county?
Yes.
Or with New York State?
With the county. We previously had gotten a sign off from New York State on the Route 9 entrance.
Right. Okay, so this is maintenance on Spire Falls Road.
Correct. Okay. So we have a county road and a state road that they're accessing. Yes. Were the wider spaces for the electric vehicles done, Chris?
Yes. All parking spaces now are 200 square feet, so they're all 10 by 20. And we still have the 40 spaces that's included with electric car charging.
Okay.
Yep, notice that. That was the first thing I noted.
I saw you did write Phil at LaVerge about the SWIFT comments. Was there any conclusion on that? I know you're getting close.
I did not hear anything from Jill.
Okay. And then the DEC sign off on the site cleanup.
We haven't received anything from DEC because there may be potential for some additional dig out when we install our new tanks. So they wanted to be present when we do the excavation for the new tanks. And at that point, you know, determine whether we have additional dig out or they're going to close out the still.
I see.
So then, you're Chris. You're intending to what you're your plan right now is when you dig, if DEC says that needs to be removed or remediated, you are prepared to do that.
Correct. Yep.
Did you close the hearing or?
Not yet.
Okay.
I have one question. Any propane tanks if you're storing outside? Is there a distance where you're supposed to be or anything? Does that anything to do with us or code enforcement? You see the propane.
I think that's going to be part of the building code.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it just wasn't sure.
I advance to closing the public hearing because this is the portion due to recent changes that it still has me somewhat confused. Is there anything for seeker?
No, there is not. So we there is not. This is exempt.
Okay. Because I know at one point we talked about that. There was some email discussions back in May, and I just never saw anything in the minutes or anything in the record where we had.
We have not come to a conclusion on that. That is still an open item, but this is exempt from seeker. Had it not been, then that would be a relevant issue. But this is a type 2 action.
So it's type 2, so we'll have that in the record. It's right. A type 2 action.
Yeah, that should be acknowledged in the record that this is a type 2 action.
Okay. I know we had discussed it. You had some emails.
Between Carla and myself. And,
yeah, but I never.
We did not come to a conclusion yet on that as to the timing of the assessment before or after the hearing.
Okay. Well, then, if there is no further comment, I think we can close the public hearing.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else on.
Motion for that?
I don't think so. Okay. He is chairman to close.
Okay, board.
Yeah, I've got 7:19.
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, there are a few conditions or open items, I should say, that do remain. One is just dealing with the DEC sign-off, and the applicant has acknowledged that they're going to take whatever steps are necessary.
Yeah, it sounds like, based on his explanation, it is an item that they can't resolve until they determine how they're going to position their own tanks. And,
yep.
And so that'll be an open item until that time.
Got that. There is my one question about seeker has been answered.
The SWIFT comments are still open.
The SWIFT comments are still
open. I know I saw some exchange, they were close, but we don't have a completely clean letter yet, and we're just waiting the last reply from LaVerge.
Okay, so as far as a board, what are our options moving forward at this point?
You can consider a decision tonight with conditions. But other than that, all the procedural steps are out of the way. We've had the hearing. We've gone through the traffic review. We've had the third-party traffic review done. We've had several series of comments, and they've been addressed with the exception of the items we just noted. So,
the SWIFT comments, are we expecting those? You may have said earlier when I was taking notes. Do we have a sense of timing?
I think we're probably within a day or two of having that resolved. Because there was one exchange of comment letters already, and now they've responded, and they're just waiting to see LaVerge's comments, if any, on the response that they sent.
What's the magnitude of outstanding issues?
I'd have to, let me see if I got it here in the file, or I can look on my computer. I have to go look that up. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Is Chris still on the line?
I am. I'm here.
Chris, do you remember the outstanding issues on the SWIP? Are any of them ones that are like destined to change the design of the plan if they are resolved in a way or another?
No, they were all minor comments. Like the first one was they wanted the training contractor certification, which I haven't hired anybody yet. Obviously, we haven't been approved, so I haven't hired a contractor. So that would be something that would come once I hire a contractor. They want a copy of the signed LOI, which I can't yet until approval. The contractor, subcontractor certifications, I can't again get that until I hire somebody, which will have to after approval. There's another comment about stuff to the contractors. Number two was all signed documents would be completed with criteria set here as being speedy general permit. Again, that's something that we can't do until after we're approved and we start the project.
But it's something that you would normally do anyways once you got approval and.
Correct, yes. These are all items that are standard for us to do.
And the other thing, I just gave the letter to Jerry Hazard, dated June 3rd, and you've since responded, Chris, I know that. But bear in mind, too, that this is something that will be reviewed again at the time of building permit. And Matt Dreimiller, the building inspector, is also the town stormwater officer, so he'll make sure that proper procedures are in place.
Right, but I think it's not like my permit.
Right. Well, no, I mean, I was just wanting to make sure, like, if we were to approve it with the conditions that, you know, you and the town's engineer come to some reconciliation on it, there wasn't going to be something that was like, oh, crap, now we have to redraw something or something.
Yeah, John, I don't think, based on what I see in the comments, it's not anything that's, a showstopper. We should pause and wait until it's resolved. It seems pretty straightforward, simplistic stuff.
Okay. All right. I know we have one-on-one project that we had an animal cover that was like 100 feet above grade.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Which, obviously, that was going to be resolved. That's not to be signed on.
So, Jim, all of these outstanding comments, the requirements for certifications and the like, would be required they apply for the building permit.
Correct, and the permit wouldn't be issued until all those items are resolved.
Okay.
And they are not issues that will change anything that we see on the site plan in terms of structure, layout, above grade, anything that's visible.
Okay. Well, I can read the items if you'd like. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, one, the SWIP is currently a draft document until authorized by the town's MS4 designated authority in New York State DEC. The following documents shall be included in the final SWIP: trained contractor certification, complete signed copy of the NOI, contractor subcontractor certification statements, and fourth, identify contractor subcontractor responsible for installation and maintenance of ENSC devices. Two, draft copies of the above items should be provided with the SWIP to confirm all completed and signed documents will be in compliance with the criteria set in New York State Speedy's general permit for stormwater discharges from construction activities. Three, runoff from fueling areas on the site directed to the infiltration chambers in DA 3 and 4 should be noted in the narrative as hot spots requiring special consideration. Four, drainage area maps should include the time of concentration and clearly label flow paths. Five, the applicant should complete question 33A on the notice of intent. Six, documentation of consultation with SHPO regarding this project should be included in the SWIP. Seven, the applicant should consider including an overflow outlet structure for infiltration chambers, discharge stormwater in excess of the design capacity, and a method of dewatering the chambers for maintenance if required. Eight, the underground infiltration systems in the drainage areas 3 and 4 of the site will receive stormwater from fueling areas. These should be handled as stormwater hotspots, therefore the applicant should provide 100% redundant pretreatment prior to infiltration. Nine, catch basins located immediately upstream of the infiltration system should be removed and placed upstream from hydrodynamic separators. 10. Signage is required for each stormwater practice per New York State Design Manual. Details and location should be drawn on the plans. 11. A note should be added to the plan stating that heavy traffic during construction should avoid areas to be used for infiltration. 12. Additional infiltration tests are required in the proposed infiltration areas. These tests should be performed as discussed in Appendix D of the Design Manual. The soils testing results should be provided on the plans. 13. The equipment and material staging areas should be identified on the erosion and sediment control plan. That's the 13 items as of June 3rd that were outstanding. Chris, now how many of those 13 items in your subsequent submission did you address? Chris?
All 13 items have been addressed in the latest submission. We're just waiting for Phil to respond. You know, he'll respond. I know from the phone conversation with Phil and Scott Irons here, and, you know, they talked through everything, so and then he would be able to concern about Phil, then we'll, you know, he had that conversation. So I would guess that if there's anything that's outstanding, it'd be very minor in nature.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like it's actually just items that would be required to get a building permit.
Well, and the other point is that they have in fact been addressed. They're just waiting for confirmation that adequately so. So
yeah. By address means Chris has responded, which is
correct.
But the question is, was the response acceptable?
Right. That's an exact.
Some of them do sound like design-related issues.
And they have been included on this design. We're just waiting for the confirmation from the engineer.
So Stewart has agreed to those that are design-related. Is that right?
Chris?
That is correct. We had provided responses to all those comments, with any changes that were needed, were made.
And are incorporated in the site plan as it exists now.
Correct.
Outstanding for me is, are any of the design ones that if a change has to be made, it makes a substantial change to the plans as we're looking at it tonight for approval?
There were no items that were listed on his comment letter that required any substantial changes, and any of the changes that were required had been made. So if there's any additional items, I would say they're very minor in nature.
So that I would feel comfortable moving this forward under the condition that the town's engineer sign off on a resolution of the 13 outstanding items. Do So we can move ahead with the, as far as I'm concerned, your approval of the plan as the designs are shown to us tonight. If for some reason there isn't a resolution of those 13, then we may need to not move forward. We'll have that contingency.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Sure. So moved. So you're looking for me to make a motion. I move that we grant. Well, do we have to do a 30-day on this one? Have we waived that?
Yeah, I don't recall. I'm thinking not.
What do you mean on 30 days?
Do we have to, well...
That's only on subdivisions.
Yes. We're fine. We noticed the public hearing.
Yes. Okay. So if you're looking for a motion, I make a motion for site plan approval for the Stewart Shop Corp. Route 9. With the following contingencies or stipulations. Number one being the resolution of the 13 items between the town engineer and those of Stewart's. And I'll leave that motion open if there's anybody that would like to add any other stipulations to that final approval.
I would just add a stipulation that it's acknowledged that the project is a type 2 action.
Yes.
Okay. Can I add a stipulation to that? At this point, I just don't want to step out there. The DEC sign off on the site cleanup, does that need to be, is that
yes.
covered anywhere, or that would be one of the conditions?
That would be a condition.
I think that's a reasonable condition. I believe that at the end, the DEC would send a letter out anyway stipulating that all requirements have been met.
And they'll have ongoing maintenance requirements to meet, you know, given what they're proposing to do there with the gas fueling and all that.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the site plan for the Stewart Shop on Route 9 with the following conditions. One, there will be successful resolution of the 13 items listed between the town engineer and Stewart's. Two, we acknowledge that the project is a type 2 action. And three, that the applicant will obtain DEC sign-off on site cleanup. After the excavation for the new tanks.
And Chris, did you say that the DPW maintenance agreement has already been signed?
Yes, it's signed by both Stewart's and DPW.
And I suppose that's something you could give to Jim?
I believe it was part of that email that I had forwarded him.
Okay, good. Alright, then I have no further stipulations.
Okay. Any other comments?
Do we have anything in here that says that they have to go through the sewer goes through? Is there anything that says that we have to do that?
Chris, what's your intention on the sewer hookup?
I talked with the Verge on that, and we were going to run a line for feeder tie-in with a shutoff at the property line. And then they said when they came through with the sewer, which is going to be on the opposite side of the road, with it, they would directional drill on the road and then do the connection. So everything will be set up for it when it does come in the 2 minutes.
It's on the site plan, and it'll have
that utility drawing. Okay, so yeah, I didn't know if we had anything extra in there to make sure that they were physically going to hook up.
No, I think the fact that it's on the drawing is sufficient.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion from John, and a second from Mike Shaver. Any other discussion?
Other than thank you for making the space, the parking space is 10 feet wide.
Well, Okay. Trish, can you read the roll?
Yep. Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mrs. Bias?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
And Tom Sharp?
Yes.
Did I get everyone?
Yes.
No, that's everybody.
All right, so the motion carries 5-0. Anything else?
Make a motion the chairman and one other member of the board sign the Mylars when presented to the building department.
We have a motion for the chairman and one other member to sign the Mylars when presented. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Mrs. Ann.
Okay, Ann, thank you. Probably not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, Chris, do you understand what that means?
Yeah, do you want to accept the Mylar that they want for signing?
Two.
Two, okay.
And give me an extra paper copy as well.
Okay. Yep, once we, obviously, once we get the final sign off from the Verge,
great.
Okay, I think I'm done with this, right?
I think that does it on that one.
Alright, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for your patience with us. Okay. Alright. Are you expecting online participation from?
Yes, our next applicant, I believe we have Tim Barber on.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm setting him up here. Tim, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you have anybody else joining me or just you?
I believe just me.
Okay.
Okay, so our next order of business is a site plan review for JAG LLC on 8 Dukes Way. And, okay, who do we have as the representative?
Tim Barber.
Okay, does everyone on the board have their package? So they have a copy of the application and the drawings?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. Barber, you want to go ahead and tell us what it is you want to do?
Sure, this is a fairly simple little project. It's a 50 by 50 storage shed that's going to be within an existing fence storage area. It is the existing area is a crushed stone area, so there's the permeability is the same. We went in front of zoning, I think on the 20th, to get the little setback that we needed, and we granted that. The project is in the M2 district, and basically what this little facility is for is to keep some of the electrical components that RAS assembled and manufactured in a dry climate within that existing storage shed area. The building characteristics will be the same as the existing building is there. A whitish type panel with blue trim. There will be one exterior light over the overhead door. And there will be one main door located next to that door. There'll be some convenience lighting inside. Most of the 90% of the building is located within the existing fence area, except for a little small corner. We put it in that location so that we didn't have to move the existing slide gate that's to the one side of the building there, as you can see in the picture.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's pretty straightforward and simple. I guess we'll go back to that.
is JAG group relative to RAS paint?
What, can you say that again, please?
What is the relationship between JAG group and RAS?
We are design build contractor. They are the client.
Okay.
From a staff point of view, I thought this was pretty straightforward. It's a storage building on an industrial site.
Yeah.
It's really like an interior type of a campus arrangement they have there in terms of the layout. I don't think there's anything special here about vehicle access or things of that nature, given the use proposed and what goes on this site. The only basic comment I have was relatively minor about the lighting. But other than that, this is pretty consistent with an industrial site. They're in the business, by the way, of fabricating, control systems for, machinery and industrial processes and things like that. So.
Hey, Tim, go ahead.
It sounds like a pretty creative way of getting around some of the COVID-related issues to continue the operation, which I can truly appreciate. One thing I think I would call for, if possible, is some specification of what is stored in the building. The application presently says storage building 50 by 50. And we know, I guess, there's some idea of what you would store in it presently, but it might be helpful to include that as part of the approval.
And I guess this is Tim. What is the merit of that? It's a storage building, and they're using it for the manufacturing process, so I don't see the merit of that.
So you're saying in connection with material for the manufacturing process?
Correct.
Yeah, the one is my answer. We have a lot of storage buildings, one or nine, and do things like could have potentially stored paper or old cars, things like that. And that's the only reason I'm looking for some understanding of what's in there, not to limit you so much as to just understand it.
Right. I guess, in short, they manufacture these electrical components and cabinets for industry, and much of what is in the existing storage area, I don't know if you've been on the site or not, but there's a large electrical assemblies that they are weather tolerant, but when some of them want to keep inside and free up some of the manufacturing floor space. So I believe everything that's going to be in here is related to what their operation produces.
Okay, this is Jerry Bouchard. I'm not going to pretend to know what it is that the operation produces, nor do I don't want to ask anything proprietary. I guess I think if I understand correctly, it's more of a question just to make sure that there's not any sort of a hazardous material that would be in this building.
Correct. And at any time, as you all know, if there was any had the test, but they have to get the proper EDC permitting and so on and so forth. But this is a couple of parts and components of the electrical system they're going to be storing here.
And then the one light that you mentioned, that's, if I look, there's a larger scale sheet that we have that's just a large scale detail of the area of the building. And it's where the light is going to be. It looks like there's three lights around it, around the fence area.
There's going to be one light that's located on the building, and there are a few existing parking lot lights that are existing that are not going to be moved, or they're going to remain
Where would you say, if I'm, which side of the building is the new light going to be on? I see when you come through the slide gate, is it, there's a side of the building you can
look at. If you look at that large aerial blow up there on the left hand side, last page of the package, where it's written in red, there's a storage facility.
Yes.
And directly in front of it there, that faction there's something, just there's that large green area with a white line out, that's actually a white fence. The door, the overhead door is in that left corner, kind of below the Cortez facility, where the FAC kind of right in that area, where the overhead door is. So the light is facing their existing manufacturing facility.
Okay.
That makes sense, hopefully.
Yeah, I just was curious. It wasn't obvious to me on the plan where the light. I guess I can see there's an exterior elevation on the in the elevation, but I just wasn't quite certain what the orientation of the building is.
And actually, if you go through the blow up of the site plan that shows the building in blue.
Yes.
You can see where the 14-foot overhead door is right there.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's labeled on there. Thank you.
Yep. All right.
Well, that's where the new light is. Gotcha. Thank
you. That points generally towards their the back of their existing manufacturing facility.
Okay. And you'll get us a specification on the light that you're going to put there?
Yes, it'll be down shadowing LED light.
Okay. It's just a storage building, right? No locker room, no bathroom, no
nothing.
Nothing.
No.
I would look at this and I would just ask the board. I know this piece of property, driven by it countless thousands of times, pretty certain in my life. There are some requirements for you in the site plan about contour lines, etc. You know, ask if the board wants those on this site plan.
I think we generally require them.
It is a requirement in the code, yes. There are times where that has been deemed unnecessary based on a very flat lot, but at this point, I think they're lacking, so that's why I'm just making sure if the board wants them, then we should have them on here. Hearing no one wave, I think that's probably something we'd like to see. I forget off the top of my head what the usual interval is, if it was 5 foot.
For the, you're talking about, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but you said
contour lines.
Contour lines?
Yeah.
We're not changing the boundary of that area at all. It's staying the existing crushed stone, and we're simply putting in the foundation and putting the facility in there. And it is relatively flat, probably within 3 to 4 inches across the whole thing, the whole area.
Contour lines on the original plan for the area
answer to that. I think it might be, I mean, at some point.
First, it's a small building.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, there's not, in my mind anyway, there's no sense in taking out an unnecessary expense, but in that area, he's setting up the one new building in an area that you said is our, is it, has the site work been done already?
For this building?
Yes.
No, it's the existing crusher room. We haven't done anything there yet. It's the existing crusher room, fenced area currently.
Can we get a copy of the existing site plan of this parcel to see that, you know, I mean, at least for the record that we have a...
I think the SP2 drawing here appears to be, you know, a site plan that was previously done and they added this building. But Tim, what's the date of that SP2 drawing from Richard Jones? I see it as February 7th, 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, this has already been in front of our board before when they added on to the existing building back
right.
In 2013 or 2014, somewhere around there.
That's why I didn't get into raising, you know, issues with, you know, the physical characteristics of the site in lieu of the past approval and the what's shown here, so.
Well, Jim, I'd like to note that the area where this building is going was approved at that time as an open storage area. A fenced-in open storage area for the components they manufacture there at the facility. It appears that all they're doing now is asking to put a building so they put some of them inside.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think adding the contours is going to be important.
So you would favor waiving them?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm comfortable with that. Okay.
So we appreciate it.
Fair enough.
Well, maybe because I think we already have a plan in-house that has those contours on it from the previous site plan.
Well, John, thanks. I appreciate that because the review predates me that you're discussing. So I think the fact that it's already been looked at as a storage area, so we literally are putting a roof over a portion of it, I would then start to think of it in terms of, is there something that has changed appreciably or would change appreciably from the addition of a 50 by 50 metal building on this site? Personally, I don't see it.
If I may ask, what was the ZBA approval necessary for? The request?
They have a setback variance. If you see there, if you know about the SPT2 drawing, they had 16 feet of relief, John. If you look at that, the setback is shown there.
Okay, all right, yep.
And they had to get 16 feet of relief, and they did last month.
Okay, alright. Because the property adjoining that and that boundary is also a manufacturing zone.
Right.
Okay, alright.
The 50 foot setback, they got 16 feet of relief from.
Okay, so is there anything else that we would like to see?
You have some staff notes.
Yeah, like I said, the only question I had related really to the lighting, you've addressed that. So
we're going to get a cut sheet. You're going to add it to the plan, or you're going to add the information about the light to the plan, right?
Yes, we'll
put that on the plan. Okay. We have that. We have the elevations of the building.
Okay.
Okay, any landscaping or anything changing in that manner?
No, there is none.
Did everyone hear what Mike said?
It was a little garbled on my end.
Mike has a motion to waive the requirements for contour lines on the site plan.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'm sorry for the delay, Mike. It was a little garbled on the
speaker. I'm sorry. I apologize. I forgot.
Okay. Like you're saying, if we can do this by voice, that would be good. If we get any names, we can do a roll call. But all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank
you. All those opposed? Okay. So that's good. You don't have to do the contour lines.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Anything else we'd like to do with this?
I think they've already ruled on it, I think. That's what I heard from Mike.
Okay.
I think as per Ann's concern earlier, the building on the plan at least specifically says, if I'm looking at it correctly, specifically says storage building. So to me that would mean it's limited to not being manufacturing, so I doubt it's going to expand the use other than just putting stuff under a roof. So I can't imagine the county having a kind of comment on it.
Sounds reasonable to me.
I think it's understood that it would be approved as an accessory use. I'm just looking at your notes, Jim.
Yes.
Where the primary use of the site is a manufacturing / fabrication facility.
That's correct.
When you store things in here, a truck's going to come in and you're going to put them on a truck and have the stuff taken out? Is that how it works?
Tim?
I'm trying to make out what you said there. I didn't hear you, regardless.
Okay. I was just curious about the, you're going to manufacture and then store some stuff. You're going to manufacture stuff or assemble, and you're going to store it in there. And then what happens? The truck comes in, pulls up, you open up the overhead door, you put the stuff on the truck, it turns around and leaves, right?
Yes, some of the stuff that is correct. Other stuff they will store, maybe some raw materials and such for their manufacturing area. They're going to free up a little bit of space that they're currently using for storage of pallets of non-assembled goods just yet, and then bring them back over to the manufacturing facility to put them together.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, just looking at the traffic pattern through there where you have that overhead door, which is the way to get things in and out. What type of a truck's going back there? Are you going to be trying to get tractor trailers back in there and turn them around? Just want to make sure you have room to do what you need.
Yeah, there won't be any direct shipping from that facility per se. Everything will still be shipped out of the main loading dock here. This is an area where they store components that are maybe not fully assembled, some that are fully assembled, but then they bring them back in and they complete it and then ship them.
Okay.
So if they go back and forth, that's why they need the storage yard. Originally, they go back and forth to the manufacturing area in the backside there, the existing overhead door in the facility. So merely it's just that just add some coverage to that existing storage area.
All right. So, Board, what would you like to do?
Do we have to hold a hearing for this one?
That's up to you guys.
I don't think we should. If they've already gone through the zoning board process.
Yeah, I don't think we
need to.
So am I hearing a motion?
I'd like to make a motion for no public hearing.
So we have a motion to waive the public hearing. Is it Ann?
Meredith.
Meredith, sorry.
Meredith. But Ann will second it.
Alright. Okay, so we have a motion to waive the requirement for a public hearing. Or a public hearing from Meredith, and it's seconded by Ann. I think we should probably call the roll on this one.
Trish?
Yes. Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mrs. Baez?
Yes.
Mr. Dew?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes. And motion passes 5-0. Okay.
The only thing I have outstanding is a light fixture cut sheet.
Okay. So, What would we like to do with that?
I'd like to make a motion to approve with the condition that lighting must be supplied.
Okay, a motion to approve with the condition that the lighting, that the acceptable lighting fixture.
Be provided, Mrs. Meredith.
Will be included on the plan. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion from Meredith to approve the site plan with the condition that an acceptable lighting fixture will be included on the plan. Do we have a second?
I can second that.
Second from Mr. Arnold.
Yes, sir.
Okay, church, can you call the roll?
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ms. Tobias?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes. Okay, the motion carries. Not quite done yet. All right, board. One more. Yep. Is there anything else we need to do?
Are you looking for signatures on Mylars?
I am.
All righty, so how about we make a motion that the chairman and one other member of the board sign the Mylars when they're presented to the planning board, or planning department, excuse me.
All right, we have a motion for the chairman and one other member to sign the Mylars to present it. Give me a second.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? All right, it carries.
Okay, Tim, so you understand you got to get those Mylars into us with the light fixture shown for signature?
Yes.
Okay, get them into the building office as soon as we receive them. We will notify the chairman and the members that they're there for signature.
Thank you for all your help tonight, your answers.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Should have Mr. Mitchell.
Travis, are you there?
Yeah, Jim, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you fine.
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone.
Okay. Right, yep, we have you all set, ready to go. Okay.
Great.
Hi, Travis.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. Healthy. All right, so we have an application from SRH DJM LLC for Arrowhead Meadows. Hubert and Gansburg Road, sketch plan review. So we are in receipt of your application and the sketch. You want to walk us through it, Travis?
Travis, are you there?
Yep, sorry, I couldn't quite hear you.
Okay, well, I just said we have a copy of the plan in front of us, and we have your application. Can you just walk us through?
Oh, sure. Sorry. So, I think a number of you were on board, it's been 10, 11 years since you had this project in front of you. Time goes by fast, but it was approved as a subdivision connections to water and sewer, and we've kind of spun our wheels here for the last 10 years or so, deciding what to do with it. At this point, the proposal is basically split into two and allowing us to do a couple different ideas, mix of different types allows us that flexibility to do our own thing.
Travis, just for the record, I think I'm the only one on the board that was there for that approval. At least
you did that long ago. Well, so we never got it filed, we never got it stamped. It was a conditional approval that has been set for the last 10 years.
How many lots have you tried?
I had, the reason I brought that up is
how many lots was it, Travis?
84.
Yeah, it was 84, yeah.
And that's why, normally, since we're a two-lot subdivision, it's something I could approve as a zoning administrator, but since the board had acted on it previously, it had to come back before you to change it.
See, this goes to the gist of what my question was. If this is approved this evening, does this void the previous plan that was approved?
Yes. Well, it starts that process. You're only a sketch plan now. You've got a preliminary and final ahead of you, but yeah, if this is ultimately approved as a two lot, it will completely void the previous approval.
That's one to know if that's what that was or if that was left intact as like a shadow.
As Jim said, once this is approved, and you know that will be the approved plan on that site until, isn't until we propose something different.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification. I appreciate it.
I looked up our subdivision regs today, and it does say that the plan is not built within a year, that it may have to come back. But I would encourage Jim that we revisit that in zoning, because the idea of an 84 lot subdivision coming back 10 years later, you got Michael's group down the road, the schools are cut bigger. We definitely want to tighten that up.
Yep. That's a definite.
So, Jim, my question is, can you approve this without our approval tonight? Because it's only going to be a two lot subdivision, or? Do we need to go through this process? Or? And what is the real reason for taking 84 lot subdivision and only making it two lots?
Well, I have a couple of reactions to that. First of all, I think technically I could. It might be a better question for Carla, but given the fact that this was moved to a final approval, it would have been, short of the lots being recorded at the county, they did everything. They were on the 2-yard line, so to speak.
Okay.
They never filed the subdivision, so the lots were never created. So I would feel uncomfortable given the degree that this was reviewed and the nature of the final approval for me to now, as a zoning administrator, simply override that and say, yeah, two lot subdivision is fine. I thought it was better to come back here and have this dialogue rather than to go through that administrative approval and just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. And it doesn't matter to me if you want to send it to the county to close that loop. I'm not pushing for this to be acted on tonight. It doesn't matter to me.
The other thing, this could happen. You can go ahead and review this all the way through the final, stamp it, it can get filed. And then 2 months later, Travis can come in with a lot layout for lot one that dices this all up even further. So that can happen. And then the other thing that further complicates this, I would have you note that this is a split zone site. So you got R1 zoning and R2 zoning going right through the middle of this property. So that will further affect the lot layout. Not unless this has happened in the past year where and Travis has done this, he's filed a cluster design subdivision, for a similar situation. That's what Winterberry is now. Winterberry is a split zone site, but it was a cluster design. So that had its own special set of setbacks and lot requirements and all that. So that's a route this could ultimately take. Right now, we're looking at a two-lot subdivision. As Travis has indicated, it's what the owners want to do. They have that right to buy. They have that right to make application.
Okay.
Hey, Jim, I have an administrative question. When we do a traffic study for a proposed subdivision, we ask that traffic study to take into consideration approved subdivisions that haven't been built yet.
Correct.
Does that include subdivisions that haven't been filed with the county, or only those that have been officially filed that can be acted on?
Yeah, so I can answer that in this particular case because we've done a number of those approvals. Okay, for the approvals that we've done, the studies have included these lots.
Okay.
It should be the approved, John, not just the approved and filed.
Okay, all right. Because if they're approved, they can be filed.
Correct.
Is that?
That's right.
Okay, all right.
So I guess
the reason I'm asking is the only impact I can see to this change is it might change future traffic studies because we've gone from 84 lots to 2.
Yes, but,
okay.
You know, I think there's a high likelihood that we're going to see future subdivision of these two lots. I mean...
Okay, all right.
So what is the purpose of making them two, I guess?
Apparently it is, among the partnership that owns this, it is facilitating, opportunities for them to go in different directions. The lot one and lot two. Is that right, Travis?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, the reality is it's been 10 years since we've done anything with this, and it hasn't progressed. And this allows the opportunity to stage it, two different ideas and different ways to move it forward. And, it'll be back before the planning board and we'll be back with, of course, the latest stormwater regulations and any of the other requirements that have changed since. So.
Okay.
But what I would caution against, what I look for in terms of circulation and pattern of movement through this site, if lot one develops first and lot two is, 10 years later or 20 years later, I would view this basically as a phase type of a situation here. So if lot one develops, there should be accommodation made for a road through to lot two, so we have a rational, pattern of traffic movement here and not two islands separated from one another just because there's a line on the map. They really do need to be...
You're also, and I don't remember what the number is, but you're also limited to the number
Yeah, and if you have a single entrance, especially on Lot 2, you're looking at a boulevard at a certain point.
Right.
Yep.
And that isn't the intention, but you're right. I mean, anything is,
I've seen it happen.
Yep. No, understood. Understood.
So, Mark, any other comments?
I mean, there's not much to say about two lots of them.
No. Well, it's not something to any seeker, right? There's nothing extra for us to do. You got kind of total lines already in
there. County's been trying to think of a capital line. They are reversing that, not negative.
Yeah.
It's I County, Fort Everett, or Bloomer Road, or both. Fort Everett Road is and Bloomer Road are both counties, so.
Travis, do you anticipate coming in right away with a preliminary and final?
I could have, like I said, it doesn't matter to me. If you'd like to give it a month and coordinate with the county, I have no issue with that. But, you know, when it's ready, you know, we'll come in with the final. I mean, it's a very simple, you know, it's a simple drawing for sure, so.
Well, once we have county, assuming the county has no impact, is there any outstanding concern amongst any of the board members with what's being presented in front of us right now? Anything that Travis should be aware of? Ready to answer. I have none. You good, Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, nothing that we talk about right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, Travis, you have the option of requesting a waiver of the final application and essentially combining the preliminary and final in one step.
I'm sorry, Jim, was that a question for me?
No, it's just a commentary. You obviously have the opportunity to request a waiver on the final application and have one last application step to take rather than two.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess there's not really... at this point, Travis, it sounds like there's not any outstanding concern based on what we've seen. I guess we just leave it to you to take the next step.
So what is the plan? Circulate it to the county and come back next month?
Yep.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. And Jim, will you take care of that for the insurance if you want to investigate it, right?
I can take care of it.
Okay. Yeah, if you need electronic copies or any additional copies, just let me know. Send them over.
Yeah, if you could send an electronic copy of the plan, that would be great.
Okay. Will do. All right, I appreciate the board's time.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis. Take care.
Representative.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and walk us through it?
So this is basically an extension of Jack's previous own restaurant that was on Saratoga Ave. They have a food truck that is ordered and being delivered in the next couple weeks, and he's planning to offer breakfast, lunch, 7 days a week at different places of business, so similar to Flomatic or AngioDynamics, and they're looking to put a turnaround where he can park the truck and place the picnic tables by the Evan building for most of the time until he has scheduled events with others.
So Epic Ventures is looking to put in this turnaround so that the food truck can come to their facility.
Yes.
So the owner of the Epic Venture land will have some kind of agreement with Mr. Celeste?
Yes, and the property manager is my father, named Helen.
Okay. And what's the nature of the agreement generally?
They're renting space in the building at Epic for their storage, and then also an office, and then being able to park the food truck out in the parking lot.
Okay, so it's a lease.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Mackenzie, will you be storing that truck inside anywhere during the winter months and that kind of stuff?
No.
So, but the truck will not be here 24/7.
No, it won't be. No.
Jim, this might be another thing we want to look at in our COVID vision. This is definitely something coming.
Yes. The food trucks are a strange animal.
Mackenzie, where is the food going to be prepared? Does your dad have a health department license to? Most of them have it on the facility they pick the food at, and the food truck is like a holding, but some do make it in the truck.
He has an agreement with Mr. Bills.
Okay.
And then they're also communicating to the DOH for inspections and such.
Okay.
When the truck arrives.
So it's prepared off-site and it's just kept warm on the truck?
Yes.
Okay, it's not actually cooked on the truck. Okay.
No, it's not.
So this is more like a concession truck than an actual food truck.
It's still a food truck, but the food is prepared ahead of time.
So this is just like an ice bucket.
I make myself a distinction. I work on construction sites where a truck pulls in, they open the doors, they've got pizza and sandwiches and everything else that have been prepared somewhere else. And they just sell it out of the truck on site and then they leave after the meal. There's no actual food preparation going on inside the vehicle.
They're in the kitchen inside the vehicle, but all of the previous food prep is done at Mr. Bill's.
Okay. So how... I guess I want to know, how often is this truck expected to leave this site?
The truck will be leaving each day when they're done with their time there.
Okay, all right. So it is a pull in, serve, and leave.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Mackenzie, is there any intent to have any sort of cover over the picnic table area?
No.
None? Okay.
Jim, would we need something from Mr. Bills if that's what they're going to be going in and out of there getting their food every day?
We could ask. I didn't see the need, but we could ask.
Why would we?
I don't know. That's a question.
I don't know where that falls into this site plan. I think what we have been told is that food will be prepped off-site.
Okay.
I think that falls under, in my mind, that falls under the purview of the Department of Health to make sure that they're doing things as they should.
Okay.
We have to make sure that we understand the nature of what he's doing here.
the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
That'll be my opinion anyway.
Okay.
This is just like the old food. The truck used to come around during our break when I worked at a valve shop. They knew our break time was 10 o'clock in the morning. They'd stay for 15 minutes and leave.
You have a nice name for those.
Yep. Roach Coach.
Yeah.
Well, the truck is actually going to Mr. Bill's on Route 9 every day to pick up food.
Yes. Yep. They'll be picking it up there.
What's the size of the truck?
It's a 22-foot long truck, including the front driving cab.
Okay.
Single axle?
What was that?
Is it a single axle?
Yes.
Note I did in my staff notes, the zoning administrator, trying to anticipate this, is that I view this as nothing different than if this were a large business that had a cafeteria on site and their employees ate in the cafeteria, much like the cafeteria at Guns Falls Hospital. That is a accessory use to the primary use, which here is, this is a business incubator or multi-tenant businesses under one structure, and this is a food service that is accessory to that. And that's how I view it.
A cafeteria, say a hospital or gym, is more like, well, that's real property, that's real estate. The truck is personal property, it's not a fixture.
No, I understand that, but from a land use perspective, this is primarily providing food services to employees on site. And so from that perspective, it's virtually the same.
All right, but Jim, in the application itself, it specifically said to employees and others.
And I acknowledge that.
There's a limit, like the truck's only going to provide to employees in there. I mean, you have events that happen.
I mean,
so, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's actually maybe a plus to the Epic facility to have food on site. But the applicant, I checked to see because I wondered if it was, and sure enough, in the application, I believe it specifically said for employees, but also for others.
And I saw that too, John, and that's in my determination. I considered that too. And on a sales basis, I'm expecting that the majority of the sales through this food truck or this concession truck are going to be from people working in that Epic Ventures property. And the minor part will be from people coming off the road. So I just want to make sure you're clear.
As for the location of it, I would agree that that's likely the case.
I mean, it's going to be awful hard to regulate somebody stopping in from the... from just passing by, seeing a food truck there and saying, I'm hungry, I'm going to pick up a breakfast sandwich.
Right. Like I said, if it was in the location in front of the building, that might be more of a concern. So where it's located right now, I would agree with you on that.
Is this the kind of use that we can approve on basis of, let's say, annual or biannual review to see how it's actually working?
You could.
Pardon me?
Do you mean like a special use?
Yeah.
You could. You could ask them to come back on an annual basis for renewal.
I think, too, if this is an issue that we might address in our Zoom ordinance in the near term, maybe this, say, within the next year or two, it might be worth seeing how that develops, as well as seeing how this practice develops in this location, whether we do have a lot of off-site people coming on, and problems distinguishing it from a restaurant.
Well, food trucks are going to be a challenge, because they are mobile, obviously.
Okay, but to be honest, Jim, I mean, travel trailers are mobile also. But we do regulate their use. We don't allow people to set up six travel trailers in their yard and rent
them. I'm not saying it can't be regulated. I'm just saying it's got to be...
You can't regulate them.
It's got to be carefully thought through, though.
Of course. Yeah, no, I understand that. I guess my concern isn't the one food truck serving employees. I'm looking at a turnaround loop with a big wide parking lot, and I've seen my share of pictures of the food truck, whatever they call it, up in George Shirtfield, up in Glen Falls. And I guess my concern is I really hate to see the food truck part of it become a draw or an event for Epic.
Well, right now,
that may be looking too far beyond the proposed project.
No, I don't think it is, because the same owner that owns Epic owns the Troy Shirtfield. Eric,
I don't know that we're approving one, but Jim, we're not approving one truck here, we're approving the site plan.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Can I ask Jim, what you're pointing out is that the shirt factory has a food truck event.
Yes.
Yeah, it draws hundreds of people.
And that's multiple food trucks. That's the point. It's a food truck happening every week there prior to COVID. But yeah, that was a food truck event.
We're only talking about one food truck here.
Right.
We're not talking right. any more than that. Is that right, Mackenzie?
Yes, one food truck.
One food truck. So.
No, we're not talking. So this is not a food truck event on Epic Ventures site. That's not what this is.
Right.
No, it's not. Nope.
It's simply a food truck.
And if it was to become a food truck event,
that'd be different.
We could look at that based on the merits of its impact.
Correct.
We'd have to look at the land use. I'm not so sure that's a compliant use in an M2 zone.
Okay.
This is coming in as an accessory use to the industrial use. That's how this is coming in, because it's one food truck meant to primarily serve the food needs of the people working in that complex.
Yes. I've also got, 10 years ago, they had a cafe in the same building. I don't know if that helps. And then also the DOH requires the food trucks to have a commercial kitchen.
And so 10 years ago, they had a cafe, but I'm not sure they had approval for that.
Yeah, it's just a side note I had as well.
So what I would like to propose is I'd like to see on the plans themselves that we're being asked to approve, the site plan, a specific parking space for the food truck.
The food truck is being part of the
concept. I'd be concerned that there could be a food truck stampede.
The food truck could be part of the concept.
A specific space designated for the food truck, and it could be different ones.
Well, I think the way to put the limit on the approval, John, would be one food truck is approved for this site. It can be a different one. It can be pizza one day and breakfast the next, but it's one truck.
Yeah, I think John's got a good point. If we delineate that truck,
there isn't another month to take its place. Okay.
Now, again, this applicant is coming in and looking to serve breakfast and lunch. So, if he's there breakfast and lunch and he pulls out half an hour later, pizza guy pulls in.
Sure.
That's under this type of a plan, that would be okay.
Correct. Well, so that's my point about one truck.
We've only got one person applying for it. The other people aren't applying for it. So wouldn't it be just Jack Celeste himself and no one else? No one else has approval, but Jack does. So that would limit it to just Jack.
Well, it's like me, but
you can't do that. You can do it either way.
If we make the motion to limit it to Jack's less truck, then we would be covered, correct?
Yep. What's the name of the business, Mackenzie, that's going to be?
Coach's Corner. It's the name of his restaurant. Was.
So it'll be Coach's Corner's food truck?
Yes.
Then that way, Mackenzie, no one else would be allowed in there. Is that okay?
Yes. Yep.
Now, the thing is, if somebody else wants to apply, then we can look at how it's gone so far.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
It seems like a good path forward.
I mean, I would say this is it's a gray area, but I'm trying to give some definitions of something that's gray.
Yeah. Well, again, there's something up and coming with the food truck
right.
coming around, so.
Certainly, this ordinance in 1989 didn't contemplate food trucks. They were under the other name.
Kenzie, what would your hours of operations be? It would be breakfast and lunch, so they would be closing at 2.
And you open at?
I think it's like 7.
Is that going to be 7 days a week, Mackenzie?
Yes, unless he is scheduled to go to a different site visit.
So he's asking for the to be allowed to be there 7 days a week.
Yes. Yep.
Seven a.m. to 2 p.m.
Just confirm that for us, okay?
You're right. Say, are you sure he wants to commit to that?
And then one night for dinner would be Thursdays.
Okay. Okay, but just to be clear, if that's on the plans, then he has to come back in front of us to get approval for any extension of that anywhere else. So wouldn't it be maybe prudent to make sure that you leave openings or options for...
Yeah, that would be great.
And what would be open till night? You know, what's the nighttime hour?
The nighttime hour would be till 7, the latest.
Okay, all right.
So he'd be open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Again, if we, I guess to John's point, if we view this as the plan is good only for Coach's Corner, run by Jack Celeste, then, you know, I gotta ask, is it, you know, John has a pretty good point for me.
Is that something that we could do an agreement with the owner and Jack himself, and then potentially we can, you know, have a rope for that gravel area so that no other vehicles could drive over it?
Sure.
Well, anybody else who came in and tried to use this this spot for a business would be in violation of. They wouldn't be allowed to write down. I'm sure they have to get a certificate. They have to come in and get a permit, right, to run.
Well, no, it's going to be easily enforced. If you put this stipulation on it that it's Coach's Corner food truck, 7 days a week, 7 to 2, 6 days a week, and Thursdays 7 to 7.
That's what he's got.
If we see XYZ truck there at 3 p.m., that's a violation.
Or I'm not sure how we do this, because we're approving a site plan. So it's kind of the footprint that we're approving.
But we're also approving
is that,
a
is
use.
Is that attached to Epic and not to Mr. Celeste?
I'm just saying, I'm trying to be responsive to if there's a concern about another vendor coming in here and utilizing this approval, then you could be that specific. Or you could say the food truck use is available on this site, and then at that point it can be anybody, but it's one truck.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with it, is we're approving a use, not necessarily a specific business or owner. I mean, if Mr. Celeste chooses to sell his food truck to somebody who wants to follow the same business model, do they have to come in and get a new approval from us because it was specifically to Mr. Celeste? I guess I don't want to see that myself. I'd rather, if it's okay to have a food truck there, myself personally, I'd rather see it be an approved site plan with a one parking space approved site for a truck to park there. We could establish business hours necessarily for health and safety. All right, but beyond that, it just, to me, gets a little bit outside of our purview, but I could be wrong.
So what happens if another food truck pulls in there and Jack Celeste is the guy doing the application here? And if there's a food truck already there, that means he's got to pull out of there for that day? See what I'm saying? You're saying...
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're looking at it as Mr. Celeste is using this spot, right?
Mr. Celeste is the one making the application.
Okay, all right. So then it is his business. All right, I can see that.
That's where I'm headed with this. I wouldn't like somebody else to pull in there, you know. Say Jerry Bouchard pulls in with Chili Willie's ice cream truck or something. Now Jack Celeste has to not be able to do business there that day, and he's actually the applicant.
From the enforcement perspective, I'm fine with either way. If you want to limit it specifically to Coach's Corner, then that's the truck we look for there every time we drive by. If there's another truck there, then that's a violation.
That's how I would like to see it. That's my opinion.
I think it's the only way to protect the app.
Yeah, I gotta go with Mike. He's made it a little more clear for me here. This is an Epic looking to set up a location to allocate to somebody with a food truck. This is Mr. Celeste renting a spot at Epic to park his truck.
And that's also how the application came in.
That's good too, yeah.
That's how the application came into the town. It wasn't from Epic Ventures, it was from Mr. Celeste. He's the one who came into the town.
No, that's, we gotta vet it. Okay. So far on the plan, then, we're looking to have a specific parking spot delineated, and it will put, and it will say on the plan that it's for one food truck only. And we're also looking at limiting the use only to Coach's Corner. And the hours as mentioned. So.
And food is prepared on site.
And we're sure he isn't going to want to be open in the evenings any other days.
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, the whole time he was in the village, he was only open the one night a week. So I think, I mean,
okay.
He cleared, that has been his business model for a while. I mean, he could always ask for more, but.
Well, at that point, it's a site plan modification.
Yeah, he could ask for more. That's what it is.
Okay, all right.
So I have four stipulations. Food prepared off-site, two specific parking space for one truck shown, a notation that it's Coach's Corner only as the allowed truck, and the hours of operation, number four hours of operation are 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., 6 days a week, and then one day on Thursday it's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
That matches what I have.
We do anything with lighting or anything like that.
Not given those hours. You'll need.
Oh. In the wintertime, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, also, there was. We were. That's what I was asking earlier. There's no intention to provide any sort of a covered or enclosed area for anyone. The time they showed a series of five or six picnic tables, right?
Yeah.
Tables. So,
yeah, you're not going to have any lighting, McKenzie, right?
What was that?
No exterior lighting?
Interior?
Exterior.
Oh, there's existing lighting there.
Oh, all right, fine.
Brand new LED lights.
Are those like in the parking lot?
Yeah, they have them all over the parking lot.
Okay.
And there's one by the site of the turnaround.
So you're covered by that light.
Okay. Yep.
Mackenzie, are you considering extra signage on the roadway?
No. The post sign out front has the blocks for the businesses that are there, so if anything, it would be a Coach's Corner slide entered into the sign.
He passed along Department of Health. He may pass all this along to the sheriff.
Okay.
But it's really a pass through.
Okay, that sounds fine. It'd be hard for us to get into that business, frankly.
Yes, it would be.
I nominate Jim Martin.
And I veto any seconds to that nomination.
This is me, and I second that.
Okay, just to make sure, so that we just, you know, cross our T's and dot our I's, we're comfortable with not having any sort of, we don't need for this application a lighting plan. There's not going to be any additional landscaping done. Parking will be utilized, the existing parking lot. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Okay. So, is there anything that anyone would want to see on the site plan as presented that isn't there now?
We have
a list. Other than the list that we have. Is there anything additional? Made by Mr. Mike Shaver.
I'll make a second. It's Meredith.
Okay, thank you, Meredith. Do we have any other discussion? Hearing none. Trish, can you pull the board?